Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord God, for these words, Lord. We pray that they will continue to resonate with our spirit and that we'll look further in study, look further in prayer, and that we'll see what you are saying to us. Now, Lord God, as we look at this, continue this subject, we ask, Heavenly Father, of Made Free, that your Holy Spirit will continue to teach us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let us all say, amen. Praise God. Praise God, saints, with your hands. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I normally, last week I did the same thing from time to time, but I'm just finding God impressing things on me that are not in my notes, that are not in the sermon, and I just have to share them. And it may not be for everybody, but if it was for you, take it, hold on to it, and consider it a blessing from God. And when the Holy Spirit drops something in your spirit, please run it by me. Make sure it's in my earshot, because I want to make sure I get the blessings of God. Do you know that God doesn't just speak through the preacher? And he doesn't just speak through the notes that you prepare by the Holy Spirit? Did you know that he speaks to every one of us, but sometimes we don't hear? Our faith doesn't make it so. Our faith just acknowledges that it's so. So God is speaking, and sometimes we're just not listening. And we need to listen, and if we listen, we would get and keep a lot of people out of some trouble. Because you got a word for me, and you don't tell me, now I'm on a road of trouble. I got a word for you, I don't tell you. Congregation, you got to take this serious. We got to take this serious. We're in the body of Christ. The head is not the pastor. The head is Jesus. So let's share the word. Let's share the word. We've been looking at the topic made free. If we've been made free from the law of sin and death, why do Christians still keep committing the same sins? If we've been made free from the law of sin and death, why do Christians still keep committing the same sins? We looked at the fact that, well, quite honestly, some of us enjoy it, and we don't want to quit. But none of us here. The other reasons is what we spent a little more time with. And one of those is we don't know we're free. Some of us don't know we're free. We have no idea that God set us free at the cross from sin. We just don't know it. And then the last thing that we were looking at is for some of us, the reason that we as Christians keep committing the same sins, though 2,000 years ago Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death, is because we don't understand our nature. And we talked about our nature before Christ, that we were sold under sin and a slave to sin. And then we talked about our nature after Christ, that we're a new creature, that we're born again, that we're dead to sin. New creature, Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Born again, Jesus says that in John 3:8. Dead to sin, that's in 1 Peter 2:24. And then cannot sin, remember we talked about John was just radical. He says after Christ, those who are in Christ cannot sin. He just gets radical. You need to read it for yourself. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 9. And we ended with looking at our nature after Christ as we have the mind of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 through 16. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 16. So that's what we did last week, and we're trying to finish that up today. We'll see how we do. And as we begin the topic, I want to reemphasize our nature after Christ. I want to reemphasize our nature after Christ. I want to just say something, if I can, that some of us, how many in Christ? How many are Christians? How many in Christ baptized? Okay. Then that means that we have the indwelling spirit. We have the spirit of Christ. And Paul tells us in Romans 8 that if we don't have the spirit of Christ, see, some of us are scared of having the Holy Ghost. We don't really want to say that. We want to keep praying for it. We keep praying for the latter rain. And the latter rain is special, but it's a corporate blessing. But when we give our life to Jesus, he gives us a personal blessing of the indwelling spirit. And when the indwelling spirit comes, he brings 9 fruits and 1 gift. He brings love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, I said one gift. I should have said at least one gift. He brings you the gifts of the Spirit, too, that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We find it in Romans chapter 12. We find it in 1 Peter chapter 4. We find the gifts of the Spirit. And so those who raise their hand and said they have Jesus in their life, they're in Christ Jesus, they've been baptized into Christ, they're Christians, you have at least 9 fruits and 1 gift. At least 1 gift. 9 fruits and at least 1 gift. And we need to begin to get in touch and in tune with what that gift is, because it edifies the body. If our church is not what it ought to be, maybe it's because you or I are not using our gifts. Because our gift is supposed to build the church. And you don't build something without filling something. Come on now. We should be filling this whole sanctuary, the overflow, and be working on another building. But some of us, maybe me, maybe you, maybe all of us included, there's certain gifts that we're not using. I asked God what my gift was, and he didn't tell me for a long time. And then one time he gave me a scripture, and he said, Romans 12:6. And I looked it up, and I think it's 12:6, but I looked it up. It says that my gift was teaching and serving. And so I'm going to teach. Is that okay if I teach? Is that all right? I don't know what your gift is, but whatever your gift is, please, please use it for the Lord, because the body of Christ needs to be edified. The body of Christ needs to be built up. Let's see. Is Romans actually 12:7? Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. So we begin, or for today, as we look at being made free and we look at our nature, I want to reemphasize our nature after Christ before we look at two laws. How many laws? Two laws. So I want to reemphasize our nature after Christ. Can we go back to Romans 8? And verse 1, it's the scripture that Sister Francis read. Romans 8 and verse 1, some of us have this memorized. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin did what? Condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be how? Fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after who? The Spirit. When we give our life to Christ, we must understand that we are now made to do right. We misunderstand, and we're getting all these miscues and misinformation from people who call themselves ministers of God, male and female, who make us think that when we give ourselves to Christ, then we are now free to receive the blessings of this earth, and that's it. We are set free to receive the blessings of the earth. Absolutely. Jesus says that. Jesus says no man will give up mother, father, sister, brother, wife, husband, and not receive all of these things a hundredfold with persecution. Come on. So you've been persecuted? Don't be surprised. Jesus said it would happen. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have done what? I have overcome the world. Okay, so this is what Jesus has said. So, but we get focused on the things of the earth and not the power of the Holy Spirit over sin. We get focused on the things, and so we come to God for the things, but not for the power over sin. And God has already set it up for those who join Christ and become in Christ to be free from the power of sin. To be made free from the law of sin and death. We've got to say that more and more and more. We need to talk about it with our children in our family worships. We need to talk about it at dinner. We need to talk about it in church. We need to talk about it in Sabbath school. Whenever we get a chance, we need to talk about the fact that Jesus died so we could be free from the law of sin and death. Not so we can continue in it, but so we could be free from it. And he's already made provision for it. And so in verse 4, it says that the righteousness, this is why Jesus did what he did, that the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we get things out of order. We're focused on the things of God and not overcoming sin. But Jesus saved us so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, some of us have joined the church because we wanted things. We wanted our marriage to work. We wanted to get our car out of impound. We wanted to go from being a renter to an owner. We wanted to get that man. We wanted to get that woman. We wanted to get out of debt. We wanted to get better grades. And so we come to church and so we join church. But that's not why we're supposed to join Jesus. We're supposed to join Jesus so we can get rid of the sting of death, which is sin. This thing is not about all the things. It's about sin. If you and I could overcome sin, we wouldn't be getting put out of our house and car repossessed and divorced and all the other, a lot of the other things that we're going through. We would not be going through them if we could get rid of this sin thing. If we can overcome sin, and it's already been overcome for us. It's already been done, but we don't understand that, or we have not bought into that yet, we might say, but we need to get into that. That's what it's about, is overcoming. And Jesus dies that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I pray that that didn't discourage anybody. I pray we're not discouraged by the fact that we may not get all the things we want. The one thing you got is you were made free from the law of sin and death, and that's enough. That's enough. The reality is, and we'll talk about it in a few weeks, but the reality is there's all kinds of blessings to those who have been made free from the law of sin and death. All kinds of blessings. You can go and seize things. I don't mean steal. I'm talking about seize in the name of Jesus things. The riches of the wicked are laid up for the just. But let's get first things first. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I want us to get this deep in our minds, deep in our hearts, deep in our spirit, that it's about victory. It's about being made free from sin and death when we join Jesus. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with" what? "Fear and trembling." And some of us stop there. You know, the person ain't doing right. You know, they join Jesus, but, you know, they're kind of marginal in their relationship with God. They're not dressing right. You know, they're not quite eating right. So we say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But what does verse 13 say? For it is God which worketh in you both to do what? Will and to do of his good pleasure. So first I want to, of course, reemphasize the fact that it's God who's going to work this righteousness in you. It's God who's going to work this righteousness in me, first of all. It's not you and I. If we could have whipped this sin thing, we wouldn't have needed God. We wouldn't have needed Jesus. So that's the one thing. But the other part I want us to understand, that it says here that he may both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We were created to do right. We were created to tell the truth. We were created to be faithful. We were created to be good stewards. We were created to be lenders and not borrowers. We were created for some awesome things in the Lord, but we don't always realize what we've been born into and what we now have freedom to do. But God wants, after we give our life to Christ, he wants to make our lives better. Amen? Turn to the left there in Ephesians chapter 2 for our last text, reemphasizing our nature after Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Always misquote this scripture, but hopefully we get the point when I do. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of" who? "God, not of works, lest any man should" do what? "Boast." Now watch verse 10. See, again, that's where a lot of us stop. Yeah, you know, because we're free. We're free in Jesus. You know, I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, y'all trying to do all that works thing. Y'all trying to work your way to heaven. You legalists, You fanatics, what you guys, you know, I'm saved by grace through faith. But what does the rest of the scripture say? In verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. I want to pause a moment to say, as we're trying to lead people to Christ, we may go out and they may need a lunch and we give them food and they may need a little help and we help them in some way. And that's good and we should do that. But when we say, I want you to give your life to Jesus or give your life to Jesus, we need to be very clear with them. Repent and be baptized. Do you follow what I'm saying? Forsake what you were doing. And we should be asking them about that. We shouldn't be saying, hey, do you want better life? Well, return a tithe and give a liberal offering. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking about before. Those who are in Christ, we say what Malachi 3 says. But before Christ, some of us are trying to lure people into the kingdom of God. We need to tell them what they're getting in here for. It's to get rid of the sting of death, which is sin. They're messed up just like we were messed up before we gave our life to Jesus. And we need to live that messed up life alone. Because why? Because in verse 10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good work, which God hath before ordained. He did what? He ordained that we should walk in them. Now, why do we still sin? We've been talking about that, and last week maybe, you know, some of us made a vow or a promise or answered the appeal that we were going to try to live according to the truth that we've been made free. And we still maybe in this week still fell into sin as Christians. Why does this still happen? Because there are two laws that are in effect in the Christian. How many laws? Two laws. There are two laws that are in effect in the Christian. Romans 7 describes it. Romans 7, can you go with me to verse 14? There are two laws that are in effect in the Christian. We need to understand this is so important. I talked about, we're leading up to this. This is so critical. Two laws that are in effect in the Christian. Because, see, sometimes we're discouraged because we fall and because we still overeat. Because we still drink, because we still smoke, because we still sleep around. We don't understand why I'm a Christian, why I keep doing this thing. Well, Paul describes the whole situation that you and I go through. Romans 7 verse 14 says, for we know that the law is how? Spiritual, but I am carnal. Wow. Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is how? Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that does what? Dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth how many good things? For to will is how? But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that does what? Dwelleth in me. Talking about two laws. There's one right there. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is how? Present with me. For I delight in the law of God after. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is where? In my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So when we've been looking at Romans 8 and verse 2, we've been talking about being made free from the law of sin and death. And our natural assumption as Christians is that this law has been done away with. That law has not been done away with. That law still is resident in us. The law of sin is still resident in us. And God's not getting rid of it until Jesus comes. But we still are being made free from the law of sin and death. Okay, and we're going to get a little further into that. We're getting a little further. But just understand that there is this law of sin. So go to Romans 8. And let's see. Let's begin at verse 4. Romans 8. And no, actually, let's go to verse 20. 8 and verse 20. Paul describes some of this struggle that we have. It says, for the creature was made subject to what? Vanity. Not how? Willingly. That's not our choice. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Who's that? That's God. By reason of God who hath subjected the same where? In hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from what? The bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of who? God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let's pause there for a moment. Do you ever get tired of that struggle with this flesh, with this law of sin, and you're thinking, man, why do I even think those thoughts? Why do I even want to do something like that? Why do I even go there? And you're trying to figure this thing out. It's not something that's your fault. You have that by the inheritance of Adam. That's where you got it from. That's where I got it from. Just like death, we got it from Adam. We got the law of sin from Adam. Okay? And so it's not going anywhere until Jesus comes. Because God wants to give us hope. Look at the last verse there in verse 25. But if we hope for that we what? See not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is a faith walk, church. God could have just changed it and got rid of that law. God can do anything. I don't know anything God can't do. But God decided, it's just like I said before. God is in this room. If you don't see him, it's only because you're not exercising faith. And I don't mean see him physically, but, you know, figuratively. Okay? The same thing with this law of sin. It exists, but it's superseded by another law. It's called the law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we already had this law before Christ called the law of sin. We join Christ. We're a new creature. We get another law called the law of the Spirit of life. But we didn't get rid of the first law. The first law was still there to keep hope alive. Because some of us would be up here boasting about how we can do right all the time. God made me so. That's my daddy. But God, God's like, no, you're going to exercise faith. That's how we're doing this thing. We're doing this thing now. We're doing this thing by faith. So you still got the law of sin going, but I've given you the law of the Spirit. Now, which one are you going to believe in? Which one are you going to depend on? Which one are you going to lean on? Which one are you going to walk in? You're going to walk after the flesh, or are you going to walk after the Spirit that's made you free from the law of sin and death? Which one? Now, I pray, I said, Lord, you know, that seems kind of strange because I'm looking at Paul. He's going through this controversy. He's going through this conflict. I'm trying to do right, but I'm doing wrong. Anyone attest to that? Come on now. Come on. Be real. Be real up in here. Or raw, like some people say. Keep it raw. You want to do right, but you're doing the wrong thing. You want to do right, but you want to think right, but you're thinking the wrong thing. You're saying the wrong thing, and you're trying to. And I'm like, well, man, okay, we got this law of sin, all right, and we got this law of the Spirit. Well, what's going on? Well, how does that work? Well, the one law has not been void. The other law is operating. And then the Holy Spirit said, you know, there's a story in Esther where the same thing happens, where there's two laws. And both laws are in effect. But the second law, hallelujah, was more powerful than the first law. And the second law whipped up all over the first law. So let's go there. Chapter 3. And we're going to end with that. Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. You know the story. It's a very famous story. Not just among Christians. Esther chapter 3 beginning at verse 8. There's a guy by the name of Mordecai who hates, a guy named Haman that hates Mordecai because he doesn't think Mordecai respects him. And so when he finds out, he wants to kill him, take him out. But he finds out that he even belongs to a group of people, why don't he just take out the whole race of them? Take out the whole group. And so he's got this plan together. And so we pick it up at verse 8. It says, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be how? Destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof. And to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed how? Verse 13 says, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to do what? Destroy, to do what? Kill, and to cause to what? Perish. How many Jews? Both young and old, little children and who else? Women in what day? How many days? One day. Even upon the 13th day, the what day? The 13th day of the what? 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So here you have the law of Haman. The law of Haman says that the enemies of the Jews can go and kill them, men, women, boys, girls, and take their stuff. That's the law of Haman. Let's go to Esther 8. You can certainly read in the other details of this this record at your leisure. But we know now that Esther's got the king on her side. Hallelujah. Esther chapter 8 and verse 4 now. Haman's already been killed. The man who made the law is dead. But guess what? The law is still in existence. Sound familiar? Adam is dead, but the law of sin is still in existence. Okay, Esther 8 and verse 4 says, then the king held out the golden scepter. She's coming to him to request something of him. Pay attention real closely to what she requests and how he answers her. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood where? And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse. Do what? Reverse the letters revised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. She's saying, do away with that law. Reverse it. Get rid of it. Stop it. Right? That's what she wants to do. What verse are we in? Okay, it says, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? How can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Now watch how the king answers her. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jews, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also, how? Also for the Jews, as it how? Liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. Sound familiar? For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man. So do you see what he was saying to Esther? I can't do that. I can't get rid of the law. The law of Haman, he's dead and all that. But it was sealed with my ring. I can't get rid of that law. It's still in existence. But what I'm suggesting you do is write another law. Write a second law. So then, what verse are we in now? Verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai did what? Commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, sound familiar, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof. And unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their what? Language. Verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus what? Name, and sealed it with the king's what? Ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to do what? Gather themselves together and to stand for their life to do what? To destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish, hallelujah, all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Watch verse 12. Upon one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, Haman writes a law, and the law is to go into effect on the same day. 13th day, is that right? Of the 12th month. Mordecai writes a law. It is also supposed to go into effect on the 13th day of the 12th month. Haman's law says anybody wants to can kill the Jews and take their stuff. Mordecai's law says anybody come after you can kill them and take their stuff. Two laws. But the second law superseded the first law. The second law was stronger, greater, more powerful than the first law. And you read through the story and see what happened. They wound up killing 75,000. Jews, none of them were killed, but they killed 75,000. Minimum. Okay? 75,000. Now, which law was greater? The law of Haman or the law of Mordecai? Which law is greater? The law of Adam or the law of sin? Or the law of Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Two laws, one does not cancel out the other, but one supersedes the other. One transcends the other. One is all over the other law. So that's why we can say there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why we can't go about like Flip Wilson and say the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make none of us do anything. Neither can he. Oh, the law of sin made me do it. The law of sin can do nothing against the law of the Spirit. It would be like thinking somehow the devil is stronger than God. Now, who's stronger? The devil or God? So if God's law is in us and the devil's law is in us, which law is going to win? God's law. God's law. As our musicians come forward, I want to let the law of the Spirit reign in my life. I don't want to give in to the law of sin. It's there, but I don't have to give in to that. I've been made free from the law of sin and death. If I fail, if I fall, that could happen. I must confess my sin. For he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But now I start anew. And I'm going to let the law of the Spirit have control. I'm not giving in to the law of sin. I don't have to. I pray that each young person, each child, and each adult will study this more. We'll look at it more on Tuesday. Anything I may have missed, anything that need to clarify, we'll look at this on Tuesday at 7. Come out. Come out. If you can't come out, send a representative. But we need to study this even more deeply, even more further for some. Two laws, but the law of the Spirit is stronger than the law of sin. Every single time. There's not a sin struggling with. Not an addiction. Not an attitude, not a spirit of rebellion, not a financial failure, indiscretion, that God has not given us the power to overcome it. Stop making excuses, Pastor. Stop making excuses, Imani. There's no excuse. There's forgiveness for sin, but no excuse. That thing has already been handled. And if you and I are still doing it, check yourself. Check myself. Is it because I didn't know? Or is it because I have pleasure in what I'm doing? Whatever the case, I still say to you, if you confess your sin, confess it. But we need to get to a place where we're exercising the power of the Spirit. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord God, that there are two laws. Not because we like the first one, Lord God, but because we surely like the second, which gives us victory over every area in our lives. There's not one situation that we face. There's not one struggle that we have that we do not have the victory over. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord God. Someone today needs to just be thankful for that and just raise their hand and say, Lord, thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. We put our hands down, Lord God, but we're thankful to know that the law of the Spirit of life has made us free. We're glad to know, Lord God, that, yeah, there is a law of sin, and so that's why we struggle, but we've got victory. And that's what we need to go away with. We've got victory over every single sin and every weight of sin. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.